Someone rightly said something today before I start. Maybe I'll start with this. He said that where the unbelievers outnumber believers, that is a mission field. He said where unbelievers outnumber believers in a city, in a country, in a nation, he said that is a mission field. I think that's quite an important statement. I'll take it again. Where non-believers outnumber believers. And I'll probably add to that, where the values of the society are not influenced in any way by the church, it's a mission field. So look at Mark 10. Like I said, I've shared a bit of that, but I'll expand it in a moment. In Mark 10, verse 17, there was a rich young ruler, as it's called. He came to Jesus. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Mark 10:17. Now, if you understand the exegesis of the word eternal life, we've done the study also. Eternal life, when you read it from the Old Testament text and you sit down where that audience had, the eternal life for them was that endless age of God's redemption of the earth, of the Messiah. You can also call the kingdom. Alright? So if you use the word eternal life and the kingdom, they are interrelated. Is that clear? Eternal life and the kingdom are interrelated. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said to him, Master, all this have I observed from my youth. All this have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Right, that's quite interesting. So he says, sell all you have to the poor, and then take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have treasure in heaven. 21. And verse 22 says, he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now this could easily be misinterpreted to mean that Jesus didn't want him to have great possession. No, that's not what the point was. The point was what he asked for. He asked for, call it in eternal life, also call it the kingdom. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, watch 23, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into where? Come on, where? So we saw that the word inheriting the eternal life is equal to what? Entering into the kingdom. Now of course, both are earthly realities, or heavenly realities on earth. That's a better way to say it. Now, the disciples were astonished at his words. Then Jesus answered again. I love this emphasis here, because obviously the first time he said it, they got him wrong. So it's also good for you as a preacher to always repeat yourself, and sometimes the second time be clearer, okay? Be clearer. Because he now said to them again, alright? Children, how hard is it for them, I defines what he meant, that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. So notice, which means we can use eternal life interchangeably, what word now? The kingdom, see that? The emphasis is now the kingdom of God, the reign of God. Okay? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So three times, the emphasis is the kingdom of God. So when we say, I have eternal life, it also means I have the kingdom of God. I am in eternal life, it also means I am in the kingdom of God. Okay, what about saying we expect eternal life? Now that may look a little bit off because of what we understand as eternal life, but then we also expect the kingdom of God to come to cities, to come to nations, to reign in the earth. So in that order also, we could expect eternal life, the reign of God in the earth. It's all okay. So he says, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, he defines a rich man as the one who trusts in riches. So it means what Jesus was dealing with initially was worship. Who trust in riches. 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And this goes to what we're teaching this evening. And it says in 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So with God, all things are possible. All right, good. So, look at what they said. Who then can be saved? Because as it were, Jesus presents a very difficult, let's say impossible situation. But notice that that's not the first time Mark will talk about impossibilities and God. Mark 9:23, the man spoke about his child falling into water and, you know, fire, something that would destroy him in water. And 23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So the chapter just before then, it says, to him that believes. To him that believes what? To him that believes God. All things are possible. Mean all things are possible? To him that believes. Now we know we first said, with God, all things are possible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And that's cool because some of us really like to figure things out. We like to figure things out. And, you know, depending on where you work, what you do. If every day of your life, at your office, at your workplace, you are into projections, calculations, arithmetic, you want to figure this out. Or you're a doctor, you are into diagnosis, prognosis, you know, medications, because you figure things out a lot. If you're not careful, you are going to limit God to your brain. You are going to curse what Jesus said there. He said, a camel to enter into the eye of a needle. Now, let's look at literally. You know, years back, some of us thought that, I heard it from someone actually, someone that I respect. He just said, the needle is the gate of the temple. And then the camel is, it has to squeeze itself. So, I didn't check it. I didn't find out. I just kept preaching it for years. Until a couple of years back, I just discovered that there was nothing like that in the temple. That Jesus was speaking literally. So literally, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to enter in through the eye of a needle. It's used the word easier. Than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if somebody comes to you today and says, you know that I'm going to pass that camel through that needle, you laugh. I say, like this is just a play. How is that possible? You know, just a play. And really, it is impossible with man. It's impossible. Like a friend said years ago, very crazy guy, he said, he didn't tell us what state the camel was, what state. What if we slice it into pieces and begin to pass it through? Our very, very silly friends. That's some way to think anyway. Slice them into bits and pieces. Uno chinko. Tinko, sorry, tinko. You know tinko? You don't tinko? Tinko can't even pass through. I mean, how long is it going to take you to take a camel and put it through the eye of a needle? I mean, if you are going to slice the bits and pieces, it's going to take you about a year to pass it through. But, you know, so anyway, Jesus said it is impossible with man. That's why I want us to look at it. It's impossible with man. Because those guys said, this is going to be tough. And he says, yeah, it's impossible with man, but with God, it is possible. With God, this is, with God, all things. Or if you look at our proper hermeneutic of that, all these things, right? Is that it? It's possible. So he didn't say, it's going to be an exception with God. He said, no, with God, what I just said is possible. So Jesus, first of all, presents what is humanly impossible. Okay? Then he brings what is supernaturally possible. So in Mark 9, he says, all things are possible to him that believes. Of course, believes God. So like I said earlier, you know, you could get to that point where you just figure things out. And you just figure stuff out. And you must be careful that your life is not so logical that the supernatural hand of God becomes the exception. So just logical. Well, if I look at it very well, you know, if we look at this, you know, let's face the fact, you know. How can this happen? You don't expect this. And there's a way we can be intelligent in the way we speak. I remember when I went for a doctor's appointment and the doctor, he analyzed the report for me and he said, you know, you're going to have to do this for the rest of your life. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to be healed. And the man looked at me like I was crazy because he was like, what's wrong with this guy? He's about 22 years ago now. He said, and I said, no. He said, you don't know what I'm saying. I said, no, sir, you don't know what I'm saying. You know, you can figure things out easily. I said, well, that's how I think. That's what I think, oh, you know, that, you know, there's doubt and unbelief don't come with labels. Hello, I'm doubt, I'm coming. Or I'm unbelief, I'm coming. Or I'm anxiety, I'm coming. They come in logical conversations. Now, if you were in the house of Jairus and Jesus shows up and you're trying to, you're mourning Jairus' daughter and then someone comes up and he says she's sleeping. You know, truth is, in your mind you think like, so you think all of us here we're joking. It's logical to think like that. And so he says, okay, get these guys out. And you and I, in our lives, I'm coming to that later on, because I want to give us a context. In our lives, we must get rid of the sources of fear. Do you know why children are not afraid? At some initial stages, because they have not seen anything that represents what you're saying. A child will walk across the road because he is yet to see any car hit anyone. That's the point. Is yet to see it happen. Why would a child touch fire? Because he hasn't seen fire burn anyone. Right? But you know, oftentimes, if it happens once, the child starts to run from it. Okay? So which means, I need information before I act in a certain way. Alright? Good. So, and of course, when the child starts watching movies and stuff like horror movies, start to wake up at night and shout, ah! Somebody put a gun over my head. Say, where did this go? Because he saw something before. Okay? So, usually, you know, we all need to look at where is the source of this anxiety coming from? Where is this coming from? Where is the source of this doubt? It could be something that happened to me before. You know, you could get, thing about the devil is, he's quite a very smart fellow. You could have laid hands on a lot of people and they got healed, for example. They got healed and healed and healed. Then one fellow comes back and says, I didn't get healed. And that one will now stick. Same way, you know, you believe God for things and you believe God for provision in one area, you got it. Then you got one that it really messed you up. You know, I was talking to Brother Tokes one day, and we shared this story. And I think he would like this story if I share it now, because then if I shared it then, he would have liked it. Then they were trying to pledge something in church. So they were trying to pledge, say, 250,000. Let me give that, because that's middle 90s. So he got up and said, I'm going to do 50,000. And so, you know, I mean, you need to know how it was then. So he came back and said, I'm going to do 100,000. So he came back again, the third time, I hope I'm right, folks. He said, I'm going to do 250,000. And truth is, then he did nothing. So the preacher took him up. I was in the service. And used his story to explain Bebeto. In order to be forward. And he says, that's not faith. But you know what? This conversation took place just earlier this year. And I said to him, I said, now, you've actually been able to do more than that. Let me add one more that's very interesting, including supporting that man's ministry. So what could have happened? He never gave up. See? So there are things that people will mock you for now. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But you don't throw in the towel. He never gave up. Just believe God. He did. He didn't throw in the towel. So Sam was like, this is very interesting. We had that conversation, it was so interesting. That, you know, it looked like, because like, I also, and he knows this already, so I'm going to confess it to the body again. I also made fun of him. That, I said, why don't I just say 5K? If you know what 250,000 was then, I'm talking about 96. That's 27 years ago. It's not small money, you. So I said, I made fun of you. Everybody laughed at him. But the point was, he didn't give up. Is he giving some things? Oh, sure. Because the truth is, you must never drop the life of faith. You'll be dead meat if you do. Is that clear? You must know to believe God. Say, I believe God. All things are possible to him that believes. You know, there are folks like that. The ones that say, I believe God, they'll tell you one story of somebody. You know, folks are very quick to say, well, one story there. I said, what about, tell about those who believe that it happened. I believe God. Say, just looking at you. When you were saying it, why would you be around a believer and you're looking at a believer believing as a wrong thing? I'm just watching you. Let's see, you know, that shouldn't be. We are people of faith. So, Jesus said it's impossible with men. Right? But with God. Hallelujah. I like that part. But not with God. So I say, not with God. Amen. Do you like that? It's impossible, but not with God. But not with God. So, see, if you allow yourself, so sometimes some of us say, well, in other areas of our life, we don't use our faith. So we say, well, I'm just creating exposition in ministry alone. After a while, it's going to creep into every area of your life, including the work of a ministry. Because doubt does not stay in one place. Is that okay? Do you hear what I just said? Doubt, it will spread. So you must find out what is the source of this sudden paranoia I have, this sudden fear, this sudden anxiety, this sudden unbelief. sometimes. It could be something you heard, right? Or something you keep hearing. You know, and I think there's some things we some of us need to get back to. Of course, with some wisdom. You know, as a younger Christian, if I found out, if you speak fear or doubt around me, I'll cut off our relationship. That's tough, right? I would cut off. If I had to speak to one of my friends recently, he was saying something, and I said, "Hold on, sir." I said, "Please, don't repeat such statements again." He's a friend. I said, "If this was years ago, that would be the last time we're going to relate." He said, "My life is a life of faith. I've been ruled out many times, but I believe God. So I need people around me that help me believe God. Amen? I want to believe God on this one. Have I had experts sometimes failed? I felt they were failed. I felt they were failed. Of course. But I believe God again. Amen? So you learn to control. Don't say that here again. And back then, you know, as you're talking like that, you just see my eyes will turn blue. So I'm really looking at you. I mean, my dad, my earthly father, once he was, you know, he had a block making factory. And we were I think it was my first year in the university, where this long acid strike. So he asked us to work at the block making factory. And of course, you had to carry stuff. And then he would say, "We should wake up every morning and go in." And then one day, of course, he just said it. He said, "You better face it. You're not careful. That's what you are going to use to feed yourself and your family." I didn't know when I said it loud. So I'm going to buy it over. He looked at me. You know what I mean? And there's nobody that despises you like your parents. I did, eventually. And what I did, I reminded him, the day I paid for it. He said, "I told you this years ago." He laughed, he just laughed. He didn't eat this time. He smiled. Because I made sure I bought it. Okay? When I was saying it, he said, because I really don't like, you know, when you say something is impossible, I look at you, no, it's possible. And in the ministry, we thank God. Hallelujah. Don't marry somebody who is a doubter. It's okay, what? So where are we going to stay? And I'm saying, we believe God. Huh? So are we going to... don't do that. Because you need to believe God. Amen. You need to believe God. Whatever is... These things are not possible with men, but not with God. They are impossible with men, but not with God. Hallelujah. But not with God. So which means, I must learn to surround myself with faith. Amen? I must, but not with God. How can you even walk with God without faith? Because you need to, number one, the fact that you even believe there is God is faith. Right? That some is God to talk to is also faith. So you need to connect that way in every sphere of your life. And Brother Hagin will say, feed your faith all the time. What he's saying is, you know, the faith life is something you're going to feeding yourself consistently and continually. And this is not just about ministry. Ensure it is your entire life, okay? Your whole life. So have a life of faith. So I have a life of faith. So tonight, from this evening, start to be conscious of your faith life and cautious of worry, doubt, unbelief, fear. Praise the Lord. You got to be cautious. You know, you know how to say it to someone close to you, don't say that again. Please don't repeat that statement. Praise the Lord. Someone told me this. He's a preacher. He was in the craziest, himself, his wife, and they were in a bad state that day. He said, I remember Rabbi would say, no shaking. Hallelujah. If it's a Yoruba, I would say, Kosewu. Hallelujah. No shaking. I believe God. Amen. I believe God. So you must learn to do that. Of course, this doesn't take away your common sense, but you will get to some point in life, all your logic will just be saying, okay, hold on, we believe God here. I was talking to one of the guys who worked with me just today, and then he spoke so many things, you know, he's upset. You know, people are upset. He's angry, so he was saying something that happened in one of our sites. So he said something. So I told him, at the end of all he said, I heard everything he said. So I told him, I didn't hear you. He said, I thought you heard me. I said, I didn't hear you. I said, what I heard was anger, fear, and doubt. He said, but you are a man of God. I said, yes, sir. He said, say it all over again. This time around, he spoke, I said, hey, that's how a Christian should talk. The fact that we're in the business world doesn't make us unbelievers. Hallelujah. Say, speak like a Christian. Christians are not paranoid, are we? No, we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And the fact that we're talking, yeah, we will sit down, we will talk business, we'll discuss our strategy, you know, but we're going to inject faith in what we're saying. So get used to faith, okay? In all your life, I can figure everything out. And don't always try to figure everything out. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll what? Direct your path. Amen. You can figure everything out. But I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Amen. So, you know, say with God, not with God, but not with God. For with God, hallelujah, all things are possible. Amen. So, can God take a camel through the eye of a needle? Oh, yes, he can. He raised Jesus from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. So, yes, he can. Hallelujah. That is the most difficult thing. Someone raised from the dead and is still alive? Amen? All things are possible. So many of us need to get on our faith jackets. Feed our faith regularly. Amen? You know, there are things, I was in the lobby right now in the green room. I was watching a Christian program. And these are things we should get back to. And as soon as they started talking, I just switched the station. Remember during the COVID period? Initially, I was for news. I watched CNN. What are they saying? I mean, then it was a new thing. No one was sure what's going on. And at some point every day, that was the only thing they were saying. So I switched off. No. You can't be feeling on this all the time and not live in fear. No, you can't. There are things in the newspapers I don't read. It's not everything you need to know. So I live by faith. I don't think I heard you say I live by faith. So as a believer, all things are possible. It is possible. So it is possible. It is possible. All things are possible to him that believes. So this man was talking about eternal life, the kingdom of God, which we know, if we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the ministry of Christ. So relate that with the ministry. And you know, the moment he said that, Jesus said that, he said, look guys, Peter said, began to say to him, Mark 10:28, we have left all and have followed you. Verily I say, there is no man that has left house. He says, of brethren, or sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands for my sake, and what? So we have seen eternal life means the kingdom. It also means what? The gospel. Are you here? Eternal life, the kingdom, the gospel. For he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Now look at it now. How many of you call Peter your brother? I do. So he got it. Hallelujah. He got it. Now we have homes where Peter and the apostles will preach to them all. They are welcome into our homes. Families they never saw. It came to pass. We left all to follow you, which means we put this in first priority. It came to pass. They got persecutions. And as the kingdom was advancing the resurrection, their names are now identified even in languages they never spoke. Did it come to pass? Yes. Say, all things are possible. Say, all things are possible. So if he spoke to us about the nations of the earth, is it possible? Amen. It is possible. Hallelujah. It is possible. Glory to God. It's possible. You must learn to use your faith in every area. If you expect to use your faith in ministry, but in other areas you're using your faith, you're going to doubt in ministry too. I believe God. Amen. I believe God. I believe God. And if there's a dangerous person to live in doubt, is a Christian leader. Look at how some of the Christian leaders are so scaremongering on the pulpit about Nigeria. And you get up and say, what I see, this country, I say, cool down. Hallelujah. Cool down. You're a man of God. You mustn't inject doubt, paranoia in the atmosphere. Don't do that. So you're a leader. A Christian leader. Your presence must inspire faith. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your presence must inspire faith. I love to hear people say, I gave up on myself until you spoke to me. I love to hear that a lot. That I've given up on myself. Because your words will build faith in that person. Great expectations. Hallelujah. Because the message is a message of faith. Not with God. With men it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all these things are possible. Look at Jesus. Watch this now. He had these 12 guys, very young, impressionable guys, who will come sometimes to ask the damnest questions in the world and do some of the most stupid things that young people should do anyway. They had just denied him. Peter had just said he hadn't heard the name of Jesus before. John had gone back home. Everybody, and then he takes them again and teaches them for 40 days. He rebukes them, right? But doesn't stop there. 40 days he begins to teach them the word. And then he says to them, go into all the world. Hallelujah. If there's someone that should doubt their capacity, that should be Jesus. Say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but believes not shall be damned. This signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall cast out demons. Mark 16:15, 16, 17. He gives them great expectations. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. Because it is possible. Hallelujah. Because it is possible. Glory to God. It's possible. So life and its challenges cannot surmount us. They can't beat us. You can't beat me at this one. I'm going to win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A friend of mine there, Larry was his name. His dad had this shop. Let us win. He said, no, we win. That's where I got it from. We win. Glory to God. We win. So he came to Success Seminar, 1996, December. In Ikorodu then, and he taught me, and he said, we win. Glory to God. We win. Have an attitude of a winner. We win. That's why I don't know how to give up. Don't just say it in this meeting, no. Say it over your life. Over everything that you're doing. Because if you are used to turning back at opposition, you keep turning back. Any little challenge like this, you say, maybe we should think about it again. It will reflect in your ministry. It will reflect in your home. It will reflect in everything you are doing. Little challenge like this, you turn back. What if someone told me, he said, what if it goes bad? I said, what if it goes well? See, I'm only asking a question. I'm also asking a question. You're asking your own question. I'm asking my own question. So you must surround yourself that way. Because the work of a ministry is a faith life. You have to believe in things you cannot see. Do you hear me? Are you here? You have to believe. Because it's the kingdom of God. The preaching of the gospel, you know that. The word basar from the Hebrew, Isaiah 52 verse 7, precisely amongst many texts, means kingdom. The moment you talk about kingdom, you're talking about kings. And who are kings? Kings are shepherds. Kings are warriors. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Say with God, it is possible. Say with God, it is possible. Glory to God. What the kind of conversations that go on in your home? Around your friends. And I'm going to say that I'm going to give you a mandate this evening. Amongst your friends. Leader friends. Leaders friends. Become one another's watchdogs on faith. Say things like, don't repeat that again. No, that's doubt. That's not the word of God. That's not the life of God. Is that okay? Yes, sir. Don't say that again. Praise the Lord. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 13. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Numbers 13. Look at these guys. You know, the Exodus story resonates throughout the whole Bible. Notice what they did. You know, we know this. Let me just go through that. You know the theology of this. That when God gave them the promised land is akin today to reaching the world, right? 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 Taking territories for Jesus? Oh, yeah. So, they came back and they sent 27. They sent 12 spies. They told him and they said, we came to the land whither thou sent us. And surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, always run away from that other statement. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. See, the world are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. Watch how intimate you are with unbelief. And he said, they said, okay. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, they have done a study. The Jebusites, don't like that one. And the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of the Jordan. You know, and you know that if 10 people are saying this together and say, you didn't even remember to say the Canaanite. Oh, that's true. Ah. Shebi is you and you that saw the Anakims. Ah. I couldn't even take my phone to take picture. I ran! He said, ah, hey, it was God. But when they asked us where we're from, we were just passing by. Oh. So as they were saying that, Caleb was looking at them. Ah, with all the word of God we have been hearing. I mean, imagine night and day teaching of the word of God, and that is the conclusion. Caleb said, stop it! We all need such actions. Hallelujah. Because if unbelief is around you and you say nothing, it will get to your heart. He said, stop it! And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report, a slander in Hebrew, which they sat the children of Israel, saying, the land. They didn't stop there. They said in verse 33, and there we saw the giants, sons of Anak. Notice that in verse 28 and 29, there was something else they said. When it got to 32, they now increased the unbelief. They now said, the land though, through which we have gone up to search it, is a land that eats all the inhabitants, some they have never seen before. And all who that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, sons of Anak, which come as of giants, and we were in our own sight. I don't know who took the pictures. As grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Look at 14 verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, the people wept that night. Watch what you transmit. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Anyone who speaks doubt, remove the person from leadership. And fear. Because our message is a message of faith. See, they are stronger. Now, why? What did they mean by they are stronger? Was God in their camp? Huh? Was God in their camp? They felt, even with God, this thing, forget it. That's what they were saying. So it was an evil report. Numbers 14. Verse 37 again called an evil report. And Numbers 14 and 21, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, here, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All those men which have seen my glory, verse 22, saw my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. What are they doing? They're tempting him. So he told Moses in 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. If you read this, all the things that are said in this conference, oh, would God that we died, verse 2, land of Egypt, would God that we died in this wilderness. He said to him, can't we just go back to Egypt? Let's go back to how we used to do things. Let's stop taking on these big projects, these big tasks. I mean, we're looking forward to when we used to just meet in Luth, and we just fellowship in your room. Ah, no evangelism every day, no follow up every day. Let's get that sweet fellowship back. Where we just come off it. Room? What did you just say? Luth? Room? No, sir. The old earth. Hallelujah. So I come and say, those days, we used to enjoy Bible teaching. Pastor Larry just be sharing and sharing. When we're done, we take coke. We just sharing and we should enjoy it. Ah, man, now, morning and night and day. Ah, how I wish we go back to those days. Ha ha. That's an evil report. We're not going back to those days. There are greater days ahead of us. Hallelujah. Our better days are not behind us. Hallelujah. We can never go back to those days. Hallelujah. Never! We're talking about building a camp place where we can have our meetings on, say, I'm just thinking for now. We can still be managing. Shut up! Did you see this 10 years ago? Hallelujah. Shut up! We believe God. Hallelujah. We believe God. We've seen it before. We'll see greater things again. Alright? See, when my life was without stress, you know, I'll just go to my hostel, I'll just pray, I'll go to church, but now I have to check somebody else, I have to check them. Shut up! Hallelujah. This is more glorious. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? Shut up! You run your business, is right. You speak faith. You are here? Sir, let me just have my 8-to-5 job. That's okay for me. In 3 months now, see, all my capital is gone. It has become, capital has even become country. I can't see. Shut up! It won't hurt you to speak the word of God. It won't hurt you, right? You're already feeling pain. So saying, I'm feeling pain, doesn't do anything to the pain anyway. You're already feeling pain. So shouting about your pain, does it change anything? No. You're only giving voice to the pain. What about saying that the pain is going? Hallelujah. It won't hurt you to say that, right? No, it won't. We're not going back there. You know there are people today, no matter how you love them, you can't relate again. Because you have left that place. Do you hear me? You've left that place. You've left that place. You are thinking in thousands and millions. Millions and millions. You're thinking of cities, nations. You are having bigger problems to solve. I can't go back there. No, I can't. Hallelujah. Say, let's go back to Egypt. Can you imagine? That's what they said. After how many years? How do you even remember there's something called Egypt? I mean, they're still browsing the internet, checking how it used to be. No. And these are people that have seen God's hand, His miracles in Acts, Exodus 14. They saw the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies came. They didn't have weapons of war. No! So hold your peace, Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. Pharaoh and his armies with their hosts, because they came also with their gods. Everyone went under the sea. They didn't lift a finger. So you know, sometimes you can forget the miracles God has done. They forgot. They forgot. In Exodus 17, how did they win the war? Supernaturally. They held the hand of Moses and the war was won. Unconventional things. Showing you that these guys were not trained soldiers. They were not trained military men. They had a supernatural advantage. So how come they were freaking out with the sons of Anak after a while? You know, you can start living in doubt like a normal life. It becomes normal. You can start living off drugs, medication. No time to use your faith at all. For anything that smells like this, you get drugs. It becomes a lifestyle. Anytime you're supposed to believe God for money, to supply your needs, just say, hey, who can I call? It's almost the next thing on your mind. Because you have now retrained yourself to fear. I believe God. Great things are happening. So you watch it. You are leaders. See what happened. These guys transmitted fear to everybody. Don't do that. They transmitted unbelief. They issued out the spirit of doubt, anxiety. Hallelujah. How do you talk in your church? How do you talk in your fellowship? How do you talk? Do you talk the nations? Do you talk big? Do you talk large? Do you talk great? Or you just talk, you are even careful as to what to say. Hallelujah. Years ago, as a secondary school boy, I said, Lord, I'm going to pay for people to come on air. I said that. I'm going to pay. I'm going to pay for people to come on air. So I took it upon myself to pay for programs. Anytime they drew budget, the first thing I'll say, I'll take care of it. I'll struggle to do it. But about 20 years ago, less than that, I saw a man preach. And I said, it's time to use my faith now. So I got in touch with the man by email, said, I'm going to put you on TV. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. I'm going to put you on TV. I never met him before. And I paid. About 2 years or so. I never met him. I still haven't met the man. Same thing I did another preacher. I said, I'm going to pay for you. A whole year. Praise the Lord. Because I said it before. Praise the Lord. Learn to use your faith. Because I said it when I was younger. Then I couldn't afford it. I struggled. I couldn't get it done. But now I'm doing it. Hallelujah. Because my faith is out. It will come to pass. Amen. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. It will come to pass. That's how you talk in your cell. In your fellowship. So we're going to fill this hall. We're going to change this venue. Start talking in 1,000, 2,000. It looks like we're just 20. Say it. With God, all things are possible. Glory to God. Never transmit fear. Never transmit inability. E.W. Kane said, when you said you couldn't do it, then you could not. But we can. Hallelujah. Do not be a leader that transmits fear, paranoia. Talking about your country. You're in Ghana, you're in America, you're in United States, United Kingdom, amen. And you are talking about, said, no. Who? We are going to walk in God's blessedness in this place. Amen. We're helped by God here. Hallelujah. We're helped by God here. It's not the world who put me on this pulpit, it's God who put me here. Praise the Lord. And we're taking this generation. We're retraining them. We're parenting them. We're raising them. And the resources are here. The money comes to us. Hallelujah. We say that all the time. Even when we are seeing nothing. Glory to God. We say it all the time. We say it all the time. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You watch it. Next couple of meetings we're going to have. Every continent and subcontinent will come. They will be here. Hallelujah. They will come here. Because we are prayed. And we believe God. Amen?
Amen?
And we don't repel people. We attract people. Glory to God. We bring people in. You learn to use your faith. Those guys say, we are not able. Oh, we're not able. And, you know, the whole congregation believed it. You know, what if they had said, we are able? But you know the thing is, usually people think, majority are right. So if most pastors in Nigeria are talking about something, they think if somebody says sin, that person is just different. No. It matters less. And some of us, we're used to this. There are things we've said. You look like, are you crazy? And you say, well, some things we thought when we were younger. A fellow told me in 2016, he called me, or 2017, he called me by himself. It's not a kingdom. It's a emoji. I didn't even know. He said, you know, back then, I was one of those who removed your posters in UCH and UI. I said, hey. I didn't even know him well. I knew him, but when close. He said, no, I did. He said, I didn't just do that. He said, we went to churches to talk about you. So I was not aware. He said, one day, I'm in my house in London, and I'm watching the programs. So I said, I stumbled on a preacher on TV who was saying the same thing that you said. Another one, the next program. So I said these things years ago. So I began to listen. He said, it means that we just did not understand it. So I will look for you on Facebook. I noticed you are still teaching the same thing. Hallelujah. Someone else said this. I wasn't even there. The person had gone on the pulpit to tell men never to listen to our ministry. So another preacher called me and said, this man came to us. Said two different people. One said, this one came to us and he said, these things I'm teaching. There was one guy that we persecuted in the middle 90s. Said, I persecuted him. Said, imagine, I'm now reading his materials. Because that was what we said then. Hallelujah. Amen. And we didn't just say it, we acted on it. We didn't throw in the towel. Glory to God. So the fact that majority has, doesn't change anything. If you imagine if those spies had taken time to repeat the truth again and again, the whole congregation would have gotten it. Never preach newspapers. Did you hear me? Never preach the news. Yours is the good news of Jesus. Yours is to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. That's your own job. Glory to God. Let the atmospheres in your church be filled with faith, hope, great expectations. We see the word of God come to pass in our lives, in our ministries, in our families, over our own life, over our nation. Hallelujah. That is what we see. Is that okay? It's impossible with man, but not with God. For with God, hallelujah, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. So when your pastor says, what's going on, guys? We should be 1,000 next week. Don't say, we're just 200 this week. Say, it is possible. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you fill the auditorium. It's jam-packed. You've done the second service. Then it's full. You're looking for a place. Say, that place is 5 million. And I'm asking you to be, what do you call it now? To be unnecessarily expensive. No. We cop that. Maybe 5 million. Say, in the name of Jesus. 10 million in the name of Jesus. The money comes. Amen. We receive this. We're helped by God. And the money comes. Glory to God. It will be done. Hallelujah. I told a preacher friend, I said, leave where you are, get another place. He said, sir? Oh, I said, get another place. And then I said, they were using the place as free. Free! So you can't grow that way. Get somewhere else near the town. He said he wanted to tell me that it's going to cost some million. Money they had never ever seen in their ministry before. He said, pastor, like you pushed me to something. That's where they are now. Hallelujah. He said, you believe God. You are not greedy, right? No, money minded. But you need this, right? You believe God. He's our helper. Amen. He's our sustainer. Glory to God. So when we hope for 1 million people to hear us, that's what he wants. Hallelujah. We believe God. Amen. So learn to use faith in every area of your life. Because you see, if you don't use every area of your life, when you talk like this in church, it's just there on your mouth or your lips. Get used to faith. Say, I get used to faith. So I'm getting used to faith. All the time. I'm used to faith. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. That means we believe in the unseen. Glory to God. Something's working behind the scene. Hallelujah. Things are arranged behind the scene. Whatever is an opposition to us in ministry, they come down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We take territories, no matter the giants, no matter the obstacles. We overcome them in the name of Jesus. They could be financial, we overcome them. Hallelujah. Cultural tradition, we overcome them. Human opposition, we overcome them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We put on the whole armor of God. And we're able to withstand in the evil day, praise God. And we preach the word of God. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. Amen. You know, I was sharing this in the week, the conference I preached at. I told them, I said, every time there was a resistance, when Jesus was resisted, in Mark 6, he called the 12, trained them and sent them out, and there was increase. When the apostles also, when were resisted, what did Paul do? Acts 19, he separated the disciples in the school of one Tyrannus. Acts 19, 8 and 9. Then he trained them and so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Every opposition is a challenge of our faith. And we don't give up. Amen. Glory to God. I have great expectations. I have great expectations. About everything. I said about everything. Amen. I have great expectations about my country. Have great expectations about my family. Have great expectations about my job, about my business, about me, about my life. Have great expectations in our ministry. I have great expectation over those I train for ministry. I have great expectation. Hallelujah. I have great expectations. Glory to God. I have great expectations. So I begin to believe God for what is not possible with me. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
When I know I can't do it, then I believe. When I know I can figure it out, then I believe. I have great expectations. Glory to God. God called Abraham. Abraham was talking about Elias. Come, boy. Can you number it? So shall your seed be. That's how to see it. Luke 1. Great expectation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I believe God. I believe God. Hey, I believe God. Amen. I believe God. So every obstacle is a stepping stone to do something greater. Amen. So watch the people you surround yourself with. At your office, if they are making noise with doubt, start playing the teaching. Do you hear me? I know you've done it before. In your school, in university, when you were in your school, you shut yourself from doubt and unbelief. It's not outdated though. You shut your mind from it. I am believing God here. and I know it's going to come to pass. Luke 1, I close here. Amen. You know, Paul, in 1 Timothy 4:6, before I get to Luke 1, 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul says to Timothy, if thou would put the brethren a remembrance of these things, thou would be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, the faithfulness of God. I know God is faithful. I've seen him do things. I'm still seeing him do things. I believe God. I believe God. Luke 1. The angel said something to Mary. And Mary said, in verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Luke 1:34. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The power of God overwhelms me. I said the power of God overwhelms me. It takes away every trace of doubt. Power of God overwhelms me. The glory of God overwhelms me. And the power of God will overwhelm you. Hallelujah. Oh, he says, behold, thy called Elizabeth, shall conceive a son in her old age. That is, the angel says, another miracle has taken place somewhere. Amen. And she's the 6th month with her, which was called barren. The angel is saying, can't you see, Elizabeth has got a miracle there. Amen. So it's time to remind ourselves of miracles. When things were tough, when things were hard, see where we are. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. And so he's going to do more. And Mary said, and the angel said, with God, nothing. So I said, nothing shall be impossible. Thank you, Lord. Imagine a Greek who say, no word of God is without power. I believe God's word. I like that song, Believe for It. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe for the impossible. It's time we act like that. I'm looking for impossible things that I can believe God for. I'm looking for tight situations I can believe God for. I'm looking for impossible situations. I'm looking for things that shouldn't be done, cannot be done. Natural will not be done. And I'm believing God for them. And Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. According to the prophecy. Right? According to the written word. Right? According to the leading of the Spirit. Right? According to the mandate we have for 2023. Right? Be it unto me according to your word. Amen. I'm looking for the impossible to believe God for. In my life, in my career, in my business, I'm very vitally in my ministry. Amen. I'm looking for that impossible. I believe God. I believe God. And I'm not going to believe God and act otherwise. I'm going to act on my believing. Because I believe it. It is coming to pass. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. Believe God. I believe God.